I'd like to ask you to join me in making a confession here in just a moment. We'll put the words on the screen before we go into the message. And, well, let me do that. Let's do that first, okay? I wanted to make another announcement about something. So anyway, we'll put these words on the screen. I'd like to invite you to join me as we make this confession of confidence that we have in God's Spirit to speak to us today through His Word. And I think about this for myself. I know we say, I'm ready, but I want you to think you're the only ones who are ready. I'm ready to receive too. And I study, I prepare, Lord knows I do, but I'm still ready. I want to always be ready to receive whatever the Lord would have for me. So would you join me as we make this confession together? Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By His truth, I am set free, free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. And would you join me in John chapter 8? It's the fourth book of the New Testament. And I know some of us, I'm kind of old school. I like the book version, but I have the apps as well. In fact, I think the first app, I'm sure it is, first app that I ever downloaded on my little Samsung 3G that I still have, still kicking, was Bible Gateway. And I like that. It's the free app, Bible Gateway. So you can check it out through the Play Store or wherever you, Apple or whatever it is that you may have. And if you want to have that on your phone for just ready access, different translations. There's another one called YouVersion, and U is spelled out, Y-O-U version. And they're both free. I have them both. I use them both. And so anyway, just want to make that resource available to you. Oh, and one more thing. We are celebrating Independence Day weekend. And I wrote a little article yesterday about our nation's Christian influence, that we do, as Americans, have a unique and an undeniable Christian influence. And I wrote a little article about that if you want to check it out. Let me give you the website. It's in your bulletin, but if you're joining now, just listening or streaming, it's the initials of the church, CLM, and the word family, clmfamily.org. And so just a couple of thoughts. You know, for example, the three branches of our government, the judicial, legislative, and executive, you know that's based on a verse in Isaiah, as is the preamble to our Constitution, other verses throughout the Bible. Do you know the phrase separation of church and state is not in our Constitution? You would think that it is, though, don't you? Or wouldn't you, because of how we hear it? And there is actually, I'll tell you where the phrase came from. It was a personal letter from Thomas Jefferson to the Danbury Baptist Association. But anyway, if you want to check that out, it's available as a resource for you, okay? All right, speaking of freedom, John chapter 8, verse 31, the Bible says this, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word," that is, if you remain in my teaching, "if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We may have different translations here that we're reading, but the one I'm reading is on the screen. I'd like to ask you, would you read that verse out loud with me on the screen? Let's just read it together. Again, that's verse 32. You ready? "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then these Jewish people said, "We are Abraham's descendants, never been in bondage to anyone." They didn't know their own history. I think they had been in about bondage to everyone. Egyptians, Assyrians, Babylonians, they were under Roman occupation at the time. But they said, "We've never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say we'll be made free?" Jesus wasn't talking about a political realm in verse 34. He said, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." And please don't freak out on that word. That word actually means practices. It's like a continued lifestyle. And the Lord said, if we live just a lifestyle of sin, we're not really free. So that's what he's saying. Then he says in verse 35, and if you live that way, you're actually enslaved to this sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. I'd like to give you a little challenge this week, okay? That you would memorize, at least learn, I hope you'll get it in your heart and spirit, John chapter 8 and verse 32, the words of Jesus there. And if that's kind of easy for you, I'd like to challenge you to do both verse 32 and 36. And these have been a blessing. Lord knows I've needed these and have used them over the years. I still need them and still use them. But again, John 8, 32 and 36, Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you shall know the truth. So truth is found in Scripture. But then in verse 36, he said, if the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. You'll be truly free if I set you free. So truth is both the Scripture and the Son. Both are called the Word of God. And there is something freeing about truth that the Lord wants to bring us into. God's truth has the power to free us in every area of our lives. I would say, let's let that truth get in. God's truth has the power to free us in every area of our lives. And ultimately, the Lord wants us free to follow Jesus. That's why he wants us free. And that's the message this morning. I really want to center in on this time that we have is just simply this. I'm free to follow Jesus. I'm free to follow Jesus. Would you say that with me? I'm free to follow Jesus. And I'll put a couple of verses up on the screen if you want to write those down. But before we continue on here, I hope that we all know this. The devil is a deceiver. It's in his entire MO. That's how he operates. It's what he's after. And as I was preparing for this, I was even thinking, why does he want to deceive us? He doesn't want to deceive us just for the kicks, for the fun of it. Remember what Jesus said? That this one who he called a thief and a robber, he said he comes to for really no other reason than to steal and to kill and to destroy. So the reason the devil wants to deceive us is if he can deceive us, then he can lead us into a life that where he dominates us and eventually wants to destroy us to bring some kind of destruction in our lives. So that's what he's after, and that's why the Lord wants us free. Let me read a few verses to you, and if you want, they'll be on the screen if you want to write them down. I'll stay right there in John 8, but this is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. But notice the reason, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. It's important that we receive, that we love truth. Remember, truth is both the Son and the Scripture. So we want to receive the love of the truth, because if we love truth, we'll pursue it and not end up being deceived. And then verse 11 says, for this reason, God will send a strong delusion. If we reject truth, there's nothing left but deception. That they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Truth is our only defense against deception. Truth is our only weapon against deception, and we need God's truth. And the truth of, for example, the truth of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has the power to free us from the law of sin and death. The truth of full and free forgiveness has the power to free us from condemnation. How about some of these? The truth of God has the power to free us from anxiety. We all face that, don't we? Now, if you don't, I would say you're in the minority. I think most of us, maybe all of us, have our bouts of anxiety. But see, what the devil wants to do is he wants us to be so dominated and given to it and live in such anxiety that we're not free to follow him as he wants. Now, this is coming to my mind. The Lord can free us from that type of anxiety, just living under that control. I did not say quit taking your medicine. If someone is taking that, please don't do that, anyone. If the Lord brings you into that place of freedom, maybe in an area, thank God. But you know what the Bible told the people to do when they were healed, like of some condition? They said, go and have it verified and then use it as a testimony. So if the Lord sets you free, thank God. Go back to your doctor and say, can you check me out? and let it be a testimony for the Lord. So we want to use the wisdom that the Lord has given to us as well. But the power of God and the truth can set us free from anxiety, from all type of addictions, from compulsive behavior. How about this? The truth of God can free us from just a critical spirit, seeing everything just negative and, you know, condemning and accusing and so forth, can free us from fears, all kinds of fears. This is one that I battle routinely, and that's why I've not only used those verses in John, but the scripture in 2 Timothy, that God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Because we can have fears maybe about something coming up in the future, but the truth is, Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Just focus on today. Now plan, prepare, but don't worry about it. Don't go there mentally. But maybe fear of man, I've let that control me before. I've let it hinder me before. So to live, you know, free from that, I'm just being honest with you, being real. And so to live free from those fears, it's constantly something that I need to embrace, constantly something I need to receive and live in. Maybe free from resentment, where we've got, you know, just something there that would eat away at us like a cancer in our emotions. Maybe, how about this one? The need to control. That'll mess you up. Because there are 7 billion other people in the world here wanting to do the same thing. But, you know, to try to control everything, then cause all kind of anger and so forth. Unhealthy habits. The truth of God can free us from false views of God, false views of one another, or false views of ourselves. So the truth of God has the power. And it's not just to free me from these things. He wants to free me to follow Jesus. The Lord wants us all free to be the people he created us to be. The Lord wants me free to be the man he called me and created me to be. That I would be a free Rocky. I'm still Rocky, but a free Rocky, free to follow him. He wants us free to worship and serve him. He wants us free to love others as we love ourselves. And he has the power available to do it. Truth will set us free. Would you say this after me? Would you say, I'm free to follow Jesus? Would you tell someone next to you, I'm free to follow Jesus? All right. So let's be real. We all have our struggles. I would like to ask you, between you and God, in your own heart, what is one area that you would say, this area right now, I believe, is hindering me most? Maybe not all, but I would say this one area is hindering me most from walking in the full freedom that Jesus has for me. And whatever that is, I hope that we'll apply this so that we can embrace that freedom and walk in. I believe there are three ways here, because Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So in order to live truly free, we must, number one, first know truth. First of all, if we're going to walk in the freedom of which the Lord has for us, full freedom in Christ, we must know truth. And we've already read these verses. Let's go back and look at them one more time. John chapter 8 and verse 31. Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Someone said, what we don't know can't hurt us. What we don't know can hurt us. And truth is available. The Lord is available. Scripture is available to us. I think one of the things that we battle so much in our culture today is that we can fill our minds and we can fill our time, please hear me out, with unprofitable distractions, unfruitful distractions. Maybe they're not wrong in themselves. In fact, they could be all right. Entertainment, sports, so forth, they have their place. We can do those to the glory of God. But we can allow ourselves to be consumed to such a degree that we neglect the life-freeing truth of God. That's the issue. That's where we have to prioritize the Lord's truth for us, that we make him the priority. This word know is not just to know in your head. It's from a word that means to come to know. So when Jesus said, you shall know the truth, it means you shall come to know the truth. It means you shall perceive. We all know what that means, right? You've had a light bulb moment. Oh, I see. That's the word know, and it means to recognize. This word know, if our Spanish-speaking brothers and sisters, it's the difference between saber and conocer. Okay. Muy bien. To know something intellectually, intuitively, and to know it personally. So Jesus is saying, you shall know the truth personally. This is a truth that grows. Like, I've just met our brother and sister back here from New York. We just met right here. So I don't know them yet as well. Now, we've had a little correspondence. The brother, you know, I feel like I've gotten to know him a little bit through that means. And it's the same way. The Lord is saying, we'll know truth. Remember, truth is both the Son. We get to know him and the scripture. And it has the power to free. I know Kim by experience and recognition over the years in a way that I wouldn't know anyone else. That's what the Lord is saying. You're going to know the truth personally and powerfully, and it's not just the truth that you get in your mind, it's the truth that you get into your heart and life that's going to set you free. It's not just truth that sets free. If truth sets free, everybody should be free. Jesus said, you shall know that it's the truth you know that has the power to free you. So I'm free to follow Jesus. Free to follow the Lord, like getting to know someone. So get to know the Lord and to, you know, God gave us his word out of his love for us. The same reason he sent the living word, Jesus, the Son, out of his love for us. I would just simply plead with you to say, let's love the Lord enough to get to know truth. Let's get to know him. Let's get to know him as a person in prayer and worship and fellowship through his word. Let's get to know that truth. And that sets us free. I'm free to follow Jesus. And then not only do we need to know truth, we must believe truth. So to know truth, not just intellectually, because that's not enough, we need to believe it with our heart. That's where it transforms our lives. The life-transforming power of truth comes not because we learn something intellectually, but it comes into our lives when we believe it with our heart. That's the key. It's believing with our heart in truth that is a person and truth that is the scripture. It's activated by faith. There is the initial truth that frees us from the condemnation of hell that Jesus talked about and brings us into the family of God. It's the good news. Thank God for the gospel. But that's not, you know, it's not just that we believe one thing. It's a lifestyle. It's a way of living. So we believe with our heart. Here's the good news, all right? I'll start with the bad. God is holy. We are sinful, and our sin separates us from God. The good news, God is love. He sent Jesus to die on the cross to bear the judgment for our sins. And Jesus conquered death, and he is Lord this morning, and he has all power to save us, to heal us, and to free us from every lock that Satan wants to put on us. And then we can grow in that freedom. But we've got to believe it in our heart. Jesus is Lord. I gave you a verse out of 2 Thessalonians earlier. Would you, if you want to write this down, again, we'll stay there in John. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. I love how this is worded. The Bible says this. It's on the screen. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it. Not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. And then notice these words, which also effectively, would you say effectively? Effectively works in you who do what? In you who believe. Brothers and sisters, we cannot rely on our own limited understanding. We cannot rely on our fickle feelings. Changing feelings. We cannot rely even on our own personal desires. Some of those desires are good and some may lead us astray. We can't rely on popular culture. We have to have a better guide. We must have a stable guide to lead us. If you want to write this chapter down, it's in Joshua chapter 9. I'll just tell you, count for sake of time, maybe I'll give you a couple verses, and then we'll come back with the last point. So to know truth and believe truth, but God told the people when he freed them from Egypt, he said, I want you to go in, you take all this land, I'm giving it to you, and when you go in, don't make a covenant with these the people who are here. You break down their idols and all their altars to false gods and so forth. Don't compromise, because that's going to be a snare to you if you leave them up. And so God said, don't make a covenant with people near you. So one day a small group of people comes up to Joshua and the leaders, and they said, we're your servants. We've come from a long way. Make a covenant with us. And they said, how do we know that you're not from a far off place or that you're close by and we're not to make covenant with you? And they said, no, look. And they had their shoes. They had just bought them with a Kohl's special before they left. And they were all wore out and covered with dust and everything. They took hot bread right out of the oven, and it was moldy and crusty and dried. Their clothes had gotten old and dusty. They were dirty. They had a wineskin, which would look like almost like the carcass of an animal. It was dried, and it had been patched up and everything. They said, no, when we left home, all this was fresh. It was all ready for us. And here's what it says in Joshua chapter 9. Let me leave you this one verse here, at least. We'll put it on the screen. Joshua chapter 9, and the Bible says this, verse 14. Then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. See, they relied on what they saw. They relied on what they heard, maybe relied on what they felt. Hey, man, our hearts are going out, these people. They're calling us. They're saying they're our servants. But you see, that's how the devil operates. That's why I said earlier in that chapter, they worked craftily and pretended. That's how he does, because he wants to keep us bound. And the Bible says that, verse 15, Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them and let them live. And the rulers of the congregation swore to him. And then it happened after 3 days that they had made that covenant that they heard that they were neighbors who dwelt near them. But by then, they couldn't go back on their word. But you see how they got involved in a covenant that they shouldn't have been involved in because of that? So I'm free to follow Jesus. And then not only do we need to know truth and believe truth, then we've got to live it out. Then we must live truth. So to know truth as personally in our heart, believe truth, and then to live truth. That's the third point, to live it out, to live the truth that we know and believe in our heart. That's actually the evidence that we really believe, is that we do live it out, because obedience is the evidence of genuine faith and believing in the Lord. Again, John chapter 8, and we'll look at a couple of verses here. I'm free to follow Jesus. Would you just think about this? Do you believe that? Do you believe it? You say, but I'm struggling. I know. But we're still free to, I'm a fellow struggler, but we're still free to follow Jesus. And we can live this out. In spite of our struggles, failures, flaws, Jesus sets us free. Jesus said this, or the Bible says this in John chapter 8, verse 10. John chapter 8 and verse 10. I'm sorry, you know what? I didn't give you all those verses on the second one, did I? Believe truth. Let me at least mention it for those who are listening. For believe truth, John 8, 23 and 24, and then verses 45 through 47, it talks about, again, believing, the Lord saying, you're not mine if you don't believe, and the reason you don't believe my word is because you're not of the Father. So when we believe the word, we're brought into the family of God, and so I just wanted those who are listening to have that reference as well. You might see it on the screen there. John chapter 8, verse 10, the Bible says this, when Jesus raised himself up and saw no one but the woman. See, a woman was brought to him who was supposedly caught in the act of adultery. And they said, the law said stoner, executor, what do you say? They weren't after justice. They were just trying to test Jesus. If she was really caught in the act, where was the man? So and Jesus saw their trickery. And the Bible says that they left being convicted by their own conscience of whatever he wrote in the ground. And when Jesus stood up, he saw her and he said, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord. And now notice this, I love it. Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Now go and sin no more. That also means leave that life of sin. See, the Lord freed her from condemnation so that she was then free to follow Jesus in the light. That's what he says in the next verse. Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And then one more scripture reference, if you just want to write it down, is found in the book of Galatians. See, we have to live out this truth every day because truth and freedom, let me say it this way. We have to live out our freedom because freedom can be misused and lead us right back into the bondage of sin. So we have to be wise. That's why Galatians chapter 5, two verses, chapter 5, verse 1 and verse 13 talk about that. Galatians 5, 1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. So we have to hold on to it. We believe the truth that I am free, but man, when I'm tempted to, you know, visit that site. I'm tempted to let this fear control me. I'm tempted to do whatever it might be, that we embrace this truth, that we stand fast in that liberty, that I really am free. And then verse 13 tells again the purpose why we're free. He says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only don't use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh or to sin, but through love serve one another. See how the Lord, he wants us free to follow Jesus so we walk in love and walk in all that he has for us. The Lord has the power to free us. Some of you will recognize what this is. It's, if you're listening, I'm holding a little trumpet. It's actually a trumpet made out of a ram's horn. In the Bible, many times the word trumpet is this. It's called the shofar in the Hebrew. But this kind of illustrates, I believe, how we can learn. Remember, we can grow in truth. We recognize. We grow in Christ's likeness. We grow in learning truth. And we grow in freedom. So the Lord sets us free initially from everything by truth, but then we have to live that truth out and learn the truth and believe the truth in order to grow in that freedom. Does that make sense? See, we can be like Lazarus, alive but bound. A genuine Christian, but I'm still controlled by things of my past. I'm still controlled by this or still controlled by that, and the Lord wants me free. And so I look at it like this. David says in Psalms 18, that the Lord freed me. He delivered me because he delighted in me, and he brought me out to a broad place. Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except by him. So he's the door, and it looks like, oh, that's so narrow. That's like, just, yes, it's narrow. One way. But I can tell you from years of experience, I've found that if we enter through Jesus and just walk with him, that the way opens and it grows. And the Proverbs talks about the path of the righteous growing brighter and brighter until the coming day. So it's like entering in by Jesus, but then it's growing in freedom and growing in grace and growing in peace and growing in the truth that we learn of him and his word. That's what I want. That's what I want for you. I believe you want it. I believe it's part of why you're here. Now here is what we all have to face. These hands that once were chained, right? So I believe here's an area of my life where I'm bound, maybe not a Christian yet, and I come to the truth of the good news, and I believe in my heart, 5 years old, 105, doesn't matter, and I'm free. Here's a truth that I don't have to live. I face those fears, but I don't have to be controlled by them. Because truth has said, I know truth in Jesus, I know truth in the Word of God, and that truth that God has not given me a spirit of fearfulness or timidity, but he has given me a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind sets me free so that these hands that were once in chains now lifted high in praise. But here's what you will probably hear. You're not free. That still has a hold on you. You still have those emotions. You still have that memory. You still have that going on. And see, if we believe that deceiver, even though Jesus set us free, and we may be on our way to heaven, but we can believe him and limit ourselves. Do you see how important it is to know truth? That we know the truth, and the truth we know and believe in our heart sets us free. Thank God. And I'm not just free to live any way I want. I'm free to follow Jesus, the one who loved me and gave himself for me and freed me from condemnation, freed me from the past, and frees me from fear in my daily walk of this life. I'm free to follow Jesus. Thank God for that good news. Now, just before we close, I want to ask you again, think about that one area. Maybe that one area you say, this one really, I think most hinders me right now. Doesn't mean you don't love the Lord. It just means that's an area where we need to seek the Lord, learn that truth, believe it in our heart, and then live it out to the glory of God. Ultimately, that's what God wants us to do, that we would do all that we do to the glory of God. We don't have to act like we've arrived. Let's just admit our struggles, but let's also give testimony of God's grace and truth to free us. I'll close with these words from Billy Graham. Christ did not leave glory and suffer an agonizing death so that we could live in anything less than absolute freedom. Amen. Can we stand together as we go to the Lord in prayer? And I'd like to just take a moment, those of you, maybe you're joining online as well or just streaming, whenever it may be. I want to lift you up in prayer too, and just let's just come before the Lord. And if there is an area of your life where you would just say, yeah, this is God knows between me and him, or maybe others too. In fact, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he told those close to him, loose him and let him go. God will use the truth to free us, but he will also use godly relationships to help us walk that freedom out. It's very important. So I'd like to pray for you right now. Is there anyone here who would just say, again, with eyes closed, heads bowed, most of you online, you can email me. You don't need to go into detail. I just want to pray for you.